T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now on the line, Michael Weiner with the United Way. We're talking about charitable giving and trends that we're seeing. Michael, thanks so much for being with us this morning. It, in a lot of respects, has to have been a hard 2.5 years with the uncertainty of COVID, a lot of events that, you know, would be big boons to charities all across Western New York did not take place. And then, you know, people's financial situation, some looking up, some looking down. There's a lot of people going through different things. And now with inflation, is the uncertain times when it comes to running charity and getting people to donate to good causes continuing?
There's no question. First of all, hi, Sue and Brian. Thanks for inviting me. There's no question that there's more volatility than there has been in giving patterns than probably over the last 10 years, or at least through the past recession back in 08. Overall, giving remains robust. That may be hard to believe, but the business model is changing and the volatility is significantly changing. I'll give you some examples. You mentioned one earlier. The economic volatility, inflation, interest rates, the cost of products. This is really alarming to individuals, and it's an influencer in terms of giving. Two other examples, social justice and COVID response. Over the last several years, what you have seen is more targeted investments in very specific impact areas, responding to COVID, dealing with, like, for example, in response to the George Floyd event. That has influenced giving, and in some ways it has been a big influence in the way not-for-profits are receiving charitable gifts. We're seeing household giving continues on the decline, partly because you now have a remote work model. You have, economic situations that are challenging for families, and wages are not increasing to the extent that people are more comfortable making charitable gifts. A good example here is in Western New York. I believe over 60% of jobs in the Western New York region pay less than $20 an hour. Think about that in the context of trying to maintain quality of life for your family versus making a charitable gift.
Michael, saturation of charitable events, is that an issue? I mean, it seems like every group needs help. And so do they have to be unique, find a special hook, or go a step further to stand out?
There's no question that innovation and unique strategies for fundraising is the future of the fundraising platform. And I'll give you some examples. Cause giving, like the GoFundMe page. You see that as a new form of giving. Young emerging leaders, millennials, they love to, in fact, give online and use their credit card. And they're very much influenced by social media. That's another example. Just pulling out your iPhone and making a contribution has become the new common core way of making that gift. And so I think the business model is going to continue to evolve. Event management is a good example also, you mentioned earlier. Think about it. The last 2 years, many of us have not been able to convene events in person to not only share testimonies about our impact and our value in the community, but also to bring donors together so that we can connect with them, establish relationships, and talk about giving practices. These are challenges that all not-for-profits are experiencing.
Now we're seeing the events come back. And in a way, when throwing, I mean, something as, you know, seemingly simple as a meat raffle, or, you know, big as, say, this 11-day power play that's kicking off today. Is it like starting from scratch? You maybe had a team of volunteers who you could count on, who knew the ins and outs of doing these things, and then everything changed, and now we're getting back to it again. You got to learn from step one almost.
This is actually an exciting tipping point for the not-for-profit community. You're starting to see more in-person events being scheduled. I'll use the perfect example of our United Way. We are doing an in-person Over the Edge event again this year on September 30th and October 1. We see this as an exciting way in partnership with Oshai Children's Hospital. And we see this as an important way of bringing people together, focusing on the needs in the community, particularly as it relates to early childhood birth and generating better birth outcomes, and doing a targeted fundraiser in order to have that kind of impact. Well, you got to bring people together in order to make that a reality. And so I think you're going to start seeing more of that in light of the COVID rates continuing on the decline, more comfort level on the part of people in our community to come together, and that can only be a win-win for the not-for-profit sector.
But then you also have to worry about the economic downturn and the increased cost of holding these events, right?
Absolutely. However, this is a perfect example of where people are getting energized about reconnecting, and so we're hopeful that sponsors will step up. And we will figure out ways to do this in still a cost-efficient way, because people do want to come together. They do want to. You're seeing, for example, Sue, the number of people that are volunteering is on the upswing, and partly because if I can't give financially, I could at least give of my time. And so, volunteer engagement, over 76% of people donate also volunteer, and these are the kinds of connectors that I think bring value to the not-for-profit community and the donor, and at the same time bring value to the not-for-profit sector, because those services and those resources are so important.
We keep hearing that word recession. Does that, you know, send a, you know, you the scaries, so to speak, send a chill down your spine when you're thinking about that and what it might mean?
Notice I haven't used the word, the term. The experience the United Way's had across the country when 2008 recession hit was very alarming. We had a declining campaign. It was exacerbated by the recession, and it took us several years to recover from that. We went from about 2009, we had a campaign of about $12 million, $11 million, I believe, and it took us to 2019 to start moving towards $15 million. We've reversed that trend, but now with COVID and with other challenges, what's happening is organizations like United Ways, not only here in our community, but across the country, are seeing lower volume donors and also lower dollars coming in. And that's something that could be exacerbated by a recession. So fingers crossed that won't get in the way. You know, the job market, employment looks good, but as I said earlier, just because you're employed doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have sufficient funds to take care of your family. You may be still limited in terms of assets and not have access to the loan capacity or a credit card, and as a result, you're still taking care of a family and trying to cover all those expenses with a minimum wage job. That's not a growth opportunity, and it certainly doesn't really bode well for the not-for-profit sector looking to donors like people that are in the low-income arena, because they tend to be some of the highest contributors. They may not give large dollar sums, but they give high rates of contributions across the sector, and that's something that we could lose.
Michael, we understand that you're stepping down from the United Way. The agency can't be happy about that.
It was a very tough decision, Stu. I've loved working here. I love my work in the community. But quite frankly, it's time to pass the baton to new leadership. I'll continue to be supportive of the organization. And there's so many needs in our community. Look at what's going on right now in East Buffalo and how we could be helpful in a collaborative way with our key partners. That excites me, and that's going to keep me in the game.
Well, Michael, thanks so much for the time this morning. Appreciate it. Michael Wiener with the United Way, talking about charity in 2022.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.